Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Isaiah, the 61st chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, again, today is known as Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, and our reading in the epistle reminds us of this. During this Advent season, and though we're penitent, though we're looking at our sins and repenting of them, though we're preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord, it's a confident searching that brings us to the Lord this day. It's a joyful thing that we await His coming. We rejoice when we think of His return. You see, we who are baptized in His name have no need of fear over our sins. We lament over them, yes. We repent of them, yes. We strive to leave our sin behind and live lives holy and pleasing to God our Father, yes. Still, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if He has died for us, then He shall certainly return for us to bring us to where He is, to give us the promise of everlasting life. Our Lord reminds us of this through His prophet Isaiah. Now Jesus Himself took this scroll in the synagogue and read this passage to those who heard Him, saying that it was now fulfilled in His coming. And it's true. The Lord Jesus preached to the poor, bound up the brokenhearted, proclaimed liberty to those who suffered unjustly in prison. And it's even more true that these things will be fulfilled when He returns to remake all things, to bring us back to our intended state of perfection, to join with you forever that He might live among you. You see, the year of the Lord's favor is now. You have repented of your sins. You've received the absolution, the forgiveness promised to you. And more than that, if you ever had doubt that our Lord would show His favor to you, He invites you to the foretaste of the feast which is to come and which will never end. He invites you to His table where He is both the gracious host and the glorious meal. So being washed, being forgiven, being strengthened prepares you for the day of the Lord. And this is a day of comfort and pardon. And it is a day now, and it is a day still to come. It's a day of beauty, a wedding day, where you, the church, will be joined with the Lord forever. I had to look this up. I Googled the most expensive tuxedo on the internet. And apparently it's something called a chiton, K-I-T-O-N. And I cannot imagine ever wearing this, or if I ever did wear it, ever moving, because I'm afraid I would sweat too much. This is a $50,000 tuxedo. And I don't want to wear it. I can't imagine ever wearing such a thing. But the headdress that the Lord gives you in that day, the jewels that He adorns you with, this is even better than that kind of tuxedo. And that's a joyous thing. You see, when you're part of the Church of Christ, it is nothing but the best for you. He prepares you for that wedding day. He pours oil over you, it cleanses you, it washes you in ways that you would only experience, if ever, once in a lifetime. But in the Lord, this is all time. You are washed and cleansed always. And so even today, he's preparing you for his coming. That day when he's going to remake all things, rebuild all the cities, prepare places of safety and security. He's ready to bring forth all of the goodness against all of the injustice that's been done. He's ready to give recompense for all of the evil in the world. Because you see, the Lord loves justice. Now, it's not just because our Lord is just that he loves justice, but because he knows that justice has been promised. You follow with me here? Our Lord is just, and so of course he loves justice. But if he were to break his promise, when he promises that all things will be made well, when he promises to restore all things and give to all people all that they have earned against the evils of this world, this devastation that humanity has brought upon this land and upon one another, our Lord must fulfill his promise to remake these things. Otherwise, he is not just. He must do this. Otherwise, he is a liar. You see, our Lord's promises aren't empty. When he makes a promise, he has to fulfill it. To let that pass away would not be justice. That would be against the very character of God. And so this gives us hope and cause for rejoicing, because our Lord promises that the restoration we will have in him is then forever. I like to think about the resurrection a lot. Sure, it would be nice never to have this cold again. But I like to think about the resurrection and what this looks like. You know, I think, very often have been tricked to think that when our Lord comes, we just go up into the heavenly places and do whatever. And I think that's wrong. The scriptures tell us very clearly that the earth, the new earth, is where we will spend eternity with Christ. The holy city descends from the heavens upon the mount of Jerusalem, and there God dwells with his people. That's kind of cool. And quite honestly, that's about all we know about the resurrection. We see that whatever it is, it's good, right? We see that this life to come is filled with faithfulness, being treated as the very children of God. So I can tell you that our lives are not going to be wandering around the heavens like some ephemeral spirits singing kumbaya while we caress the clouds. The life to come is physical. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? In that very way, your body also will be raised from the dead. You will be raised. I mean, think about this. You will be raised in the very body that you have now, only perfected. Perfected. You're going to, I think, work the land like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden before the fall, bringing its bounty with no effort. I mean, can you imagine this? You walk up to the ground, you command the ground to grow, and it obeys. Everyone's going to have a green thumb. And that's good. Imagine a world with no thorns or brambles. Imagine no weeds coming up and choking things out. Imagine no mosquitoes. I hate them. I love the winter because the mosquitoes are gone. Imagine a perfect world. And the life to come is going to be even greater than that of which is in your imagination. It's going to be perfect. There's going to be no more sin. There's going to be no more sorrow. And that's where our eyes are today. And because of that, that's why we rejoice this day, this Gaudete Sunday. We rejoice and we give thanks for all of the gifts that he's given us. And there is no greater gift than the promise of the Lord's provision. He's taking care of you this day. He is strengthening you unto everlasting life. He's strengthening you body and soul unto everlasting life. You see, our God is a tangible God. He's not just this God that we worship that's up in the clouds, right? He's a God who literally took upon himself flesh so that we could see him and touch him and smell him. I don't imagine Jesus smelled very good in his earthly life. It was first century. It wasn't very clean. You can imagine Jesus walking into the room and smell the dirt and the dust on him from living among us. And I think that's something that we look forward to then, because in the life to come, we don't smell the dirt and the dust of Christ, but we smell the incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Our God is a tangible God. He knows that we're weak in our sin. I think he knows, too, that we would have trouble if God were just a spirit, just this thing up there that we couldn't look at. I mean, he could have told us to search our feelings, right? Liz and I went to go see the new Star Wars movie yesterday, and that's one of the things that comes out. Remember from the original series, too? Search your feelings. You know it to be true, right? He could have told us to do that. But what's the problem with that? Our feelings are deceptive. Hopelessly so. Could have told us to look inside ourselves and figure out what's true, but we often lie to ourselves, don't we? And so Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, descended from heaven to take upon himself the flesh of his mother, Mary, so that we might behold him and again see him and hear him and touch him and smell him. He provides those tangible things for us to be that God for us. And ultimately, then, that's why he gives to us his gifts. That's why we preach the baptism of Christ. It's not just because we're Lutheran and we really like baptism, but it's because baptism gives us something to hold on to. Something where we can look at it and say that we felt the forgiveness of sins literally on us. We heard it in our ears as the water washed over our heads. And he gives us his supper so that we can taste his true body and blood with the bread and the wine, so that we can taste and see that the Lord is good, even as we hear that he gave us his body and his blood in giving it over and shedding it for the forgiveness of our sins. He even gives us pastors who are not worthy in any kind of way to make sure that you can hear and see that our Lord speaks to us still today, not through our feelings and not through some still small voice as we await him hiding in the cleft of a rock, but not through these downloads or revelations, but through his eternal word that he gave through his Son. That same Son that the prophets preached, the same Son that the prophets longed to see. And you can hear these things and taste these things and feel these things and carry these things. You see, our Lord's time is at hand. And we rejoice. All of these things remind us that our time of mourning is almost over. And we rejoice. All of these things remind us that our time of suffering is almost done and we'll be raised in our bodies to life everlasting, and we rejoice. And so we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and we will proclaim his death for the forgiveness of sins until he comes. Come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.